Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbarib Media, 19.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you say your mob yarn up strong, too deadly. Now, cannabis is driving rising childhood cancer rates. A just published study in the medical journal BMC Cancer has demonstrated that rising rates of childhood cancer, which have increased by 49% since 1975 throughout the United States and are closely related to increased cannabis use in the United States that have decriminalized or legalized cannabis for medical recreation use. Want to know how it is in Australia? I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Gary Christian, Research Director at Drug Free Australia. Online, Gary, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. And good morning also to my friends who are Indigenous friends up in Kuranda.
Good. Big shout out to all the mob in Kuranda. Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, the mob.
Acknowledging the mob. Fantastic. Now, looking at these rates, high rates, 49% since 1975, cancer with children. It's mainly in the United States. Are the numbers the same in Australia?
Yeah, the same thing is happening anywhere in the world where okay. there is increasing cannabis use, particularly for medical cannabis and in those places where they have legalised. So cannabis has been legalised in Canada. So you can actually track what is happening as cannabis is legalised, because what happens when the substance is legalised, use goes up. So, for instance, in Colorado, which legalised back in 2013-14. By 2016, cannabis use had doubled amongst adults. And so this is a big rise in cannabis use. And so you can actually track what is happening disease-wise in these states that have increasing cannabis use.
So when legalising, well, I mean, a government should be at the front and centre in regard to making those decisions when legalising a drug that's causing cancer.
Yeah, yeah, but our government has been told and basically lied to for years by activists who say, oh, cannabis is just a benign substance that doesn't do anything, doesn't kill anybody, they say. Mm. Well, of course it kills people, you know, suicide, all these other things.
Yes.
And, you know, there's violence and there's a whole range of things, driving accidents and so on. But you've got these activists have been working on government people for years and years and years and saying, oh, cannabis doesn't do any harm at all. Mm. That's their line.
Sure.
And so it's going to take a very strong re-education campaign to be able to get our politicians and parliamentarians up to speed on the harms of cannabis. And this is just one of them that we're talking about this morning.
Yes, but the drug is illegal in this country. So you're talking about if the government does make it legal, then we're going to have a more increase of cancer, especially for kids.
Yeah, we can expect to see what's happened in the US. And they've legalised it in, I think it's about 12 states, could be more, since November 3 last year. But they have legalised it across there, and it does allow us to watch a trajectory of certain diseases, which can be followed with very good data that they keep within the United States by their Centre of Disease Control. And they keep data on all cancers, all sorts of different diseases.
Mm.
And so you can track all of this sort of stuff very, very well and very accurately because we also know what the cannabis use for each state is, from their surveys that they do.
So in regards to the decision, do you see the government here in Australia making a decision to legalise cannabis?
Oh, yes. I mean, we've certainly had the ACT. They will tell you that they've legalised cannabis. The federal government will tell you that they haven't allowed the ACT to legalise it. But you go and talk to the people in the ACT Legislative Assembly and they say, yes, we've legalised it. And the legislation is there. And it's been in place for more than a year. The federal government says, oh, no, we've told the federal police that it is not legal as far as we're concerned. It doesn't matter what a territory does. The federal government predominates over a territory like the ACT, and our police are still policing anybody who thinks that they can grow cannabis.
But, Gary, you're saying legalise as in for medicinal purposes or
no,
for entertainment?
This is for recreational purposes, yes, in the ACT. So, again, at the ACT level, they're saying, oh, yeah, we legalise it. The federal government says, no, we've overruled it. But they didn't do a formal overruling of it. They just said that our police will police it as normal.
And, look, there are people out there, especially young ones, who wouldn't get take on cannabis because it's an illegal drug. If they do legalise it, then the young person will be thinking, well, it must be okay because the government said it's okay. So more young people would be taking cannabis, yes?
Yeah, for sure. And we know exactly what number we'll be taking them for.
Okay.
Because there's a survey that we do every 3 years in Australia, the household survey, 25,000 Australians. And they ask this question, why don't you use cannabis? And 32% of people who respond to that survey say that they don't use it because it is illegal.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
Illegal. So as soon as you legalise it,
32% are going to be using it now, extra.
Who are going to use it? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, look, that's the space we're living in at the moment. So the message we're putting out there that cannabis can harm you, is causing cancer, and not to take it.
Yeah, and look, I think the most alarming thing is that cannabis is what they call a mutagen. It actually changes. It fragments your chromosomes in your body.
Mm.
Okay? And so what happens is when you've got DNA repair mechanisms in place within your body, all this damage is done by cannabis. And when it puts back the DNA together that's been fragmented, it puts it back together wrong. And that means that you pass on your damaged genes down to your children.
Yep.
And they pass your damaged genes on to their children. And so you've got this growing
hereditary
of mutant genes which are due to cannabis. And that is the problem. And there is a load of evidence for this. There's plenty of science around chromothripsis. Anybody can look at that on Google. And this is the troubling thing. It's not just the pregnant mother who's smoking cannabis while she's pregnant.
Mm.
It's the father. It's his damaged chromosomes which are passed on to the child. And so it's that damage which causes the cancer.
Mm.
And we know a lot more about cancer, and that cancer is something that can be passed on from generation to generation because of that process. And cannabis is a factor within
that. It's becoming a negative legacy you're creating.
Well, it's going to affect generations.
Yes.
And, once a gene has mutated, it is passed down generation to generation to generation, predisposing all of your children and grandchildren to cancers.
That's different to a cigarette, isn't
cannabis.
It? I mean, cigarette causes cancer anyway, but if you're not passing on that gene, are you, if you're a smoker?
Hello, I've lost
Gary. Lost Gary there. That's Gary Christian, his name is, Research Director, Drug-Free Australia, and talking about the just-published study in medical journal BMC Cancer has demonstrated the rising rates of childhood cancer, which has increased by 49% since 1975. That's in the United States, but the numbers are still exactly the same here in Australia. And the fact that the drug is illegal, people are doing it, but a lot of people won't do it because it's illegal. But if they make it legal, then more people will do it. So we're saying don't do it because it's not good for your health and for generations thereafter in your gene. There it is. Have your say. Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
From you, I dream.
Yeah, that's Todd Williams there. You got it here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbibrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So give me a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. All right, now we're going to catch up with Yarn with Executive General Manager of Shake It Up Australia Foundation, Vicky Miller, and talk about the fight in regard to cure for Parkinson's. On the line, Vicky, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So first of all, let's talk about Shake It Up Australia Foundation and your General Manager and the job that you do in regarding Parkinson's, please.
So at the foundation, we fund research in Australia to find better treatments to prevent, slow and stop Parkinson's disease progression. Mm-hmm. And we co-fund those research projects with the Michael J. Fox Foundation in the US, who provides the clinical oversight for all of the research that's being done. And they're really across what's happening internationally in terms of Parkinson's research.
Okay, so let's talk about Parkinson's, the disease itself. Is it hereditary? How does one pick up Parkinson's? Explain that, please.
We don't know the cause of Parkinson's. The research is showing us that the cause of Parkinson's can come from a number of different areas, so that we know that around 15% of people will have Parkinson's because they have a gene, one of two genes that have been identified that we know relate to Parkinson's, but there's 85% of people who don't have it because of a genetic link. So there's some other causes of Parkinson's, and they're still doing research to try and figure out what the cause of Parkinson's is. It's a very complex disease.
Yes, because you're saying sometimes genetic, yes, but sometimes no.
Yeah, more often than not, no.
And we're talking it doesn't discriminate any age. Any persons?
No, it doesn't discriminate with age or sex. So it can strike you in your 20s. It can strike you in your 80s. It's a neurodegenerative disease, and you never know how fast you are going to degenerate once you've been diagnosed. So 20% of people will be under 50 and 10% under 40 when they're diagnosed. Michael J. Fox was only 29.
Yes.
The majority of people are diagnosed over 60, but it still affects young people as well, and we call that young onset Parkinson's disease. And so the Parkinson's disease isn't going to kill you, but it's going to certainly impact on your quality of life as the neurodegenerative disease progresses.
So once you have Parkinson's, Vicky, you are with it for life?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
So one of the things we're looking at with our research is new treatments that are going to slow or and stop the progression of the disease, and that'll give us more information, and the hope is that'll eventually lead us to being able to reverse Parkinson's, which I guess would what you would then call a cure. But at the moment, most of the drugs that have been, come out in the last decades have been to manage symptoms. We're now looking at drugs that are going to slow or stop disease progression.
And so when you look at or someone with Parkinson's, the physical sense, a lot of shaking going on. Is it stop the person from operating? And how's their thought process and their communication?
So it affects everybody differently, and there are a lot of different symptoms. So the tremor would be one that your audience would be most familiar with. Not everybody gets tremor, but it is the most most prevalent symptom than the most obvious one, but it's a balance, it affects balance and gait. So it's caused by the loss of dopamine cells in the brain, and it's called a movement disorder. So it affects your balance, your gait. So people with Parkinson's were very prone to falls, and obviously there's the ongoing health risks associated with falls.
Yes. Yes.
It affects their speech, it affects their handwriting becomes very small. They can have frozen facial features because the muscles in the face stop moving, and so they will always have a sad look on their face, not unable to show emotion. There's a lot of invisible symptoms with Parkinson's. There's a strong link between the gut and the brain, so constipation and digestive issues can be an early indication of Parkinson's. Depression is a symptom of Parkinson's. So if you have a depression that can't be attributed to being a biological depression or associated with a major event in your life, it may be worth investigating because that could be the precursor to Parkinson's. And loss of sense of smell is a very early symptom of Parkinson's, which is frequently overlooked.
And so, Vicky, thanks for sharing and educating myself as well as listeners. Regarding Parkinson's, there's communication with family to help a patient as such?
Yes, well, if they visit our website, which is shakeitup.org.au, we have a section about Parkinson's on there, and that'll give them a lot of helpful information about diagnosis, symptoms, treatments, and you know, what you can do to live well with your Parkinson's. Exercise is really important for somebody with Parkinson's. Eating a really healthy, nutritious diet because of the gut-brain connection is also really important. Obviously, your medication that the doctor puts you on. So for family members who are there to support their
loved patients are on medication, Vicky, yep.
Yes, be aware that, you know, there are a lot of those silent, invisible symptoms. So, you know, your family member might look like they're not struggling so much, but inside they probably are.
Okay. So, look, thank you very much for sharing. And we just need to be aware of what's happening and communicate because of lack of education in regard to the disease. And like you said, it could just pop up anywhere and with anybody. And so if a loved one is that way inclined, then get educated on it, and using your webpage is one of the tools we can use.
That's right. And then April 11th is World Parkinson's Day.
Okay.
And throughout the month of April, we have our Pause for Parkinson's campaign, which is about increasing community awareness and asking people to make a donation to on our website to help us fund research that is going to edge us closer to these improved treatments and eventually a cure for Parkinson's. So it's shakeitup.org.au where you'll find all that information.
Shakeitup.org.au. Vicky, thank you so very much. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye. There it is. That's Vicky Miller, and she's the Executive General Manager for Shake It Up Australia Foundation. So do check out their webpage, and it is the month of April 11th is the month for awareness of Parkinson's disease. And together with their partners, Michael J. Fox Foundation, they are the largest non-government funders of Parkinson's research across multiple institutes of Australia, and it's only through international collaboration that they'll find a cure for Parkinson's, and we can do a bit by donating and getting educated on that yucky disease. Have you say, you might be yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Explain. kissed you once, now I'm caught on your lips. I'm caught on your lips. I'm caught on.
On your mob, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Nadi Kirkman, Marum Dumer. dreaming through the night about the Milky Way. Language of my body, what I'm born today. I just can't seem to realize why people can't accept innocence of love, power of respect. Ah, Miriam, my keeper, mirror me with love. Birth me through the mother, sign is still above. My universe, my homeland, through the sacred sight. Everyone reflects here, everyone has right. I want to see the gift of life, one that makes me whole. Love that reaches deep inside, inside my soul. To give my truth some insight, only peace contains ideals of perfection within which I remains. In my dreams it's waiting, waiting to unfold. The beauty of the sunrise, rebirth of the whole. The air I breathe, breath of life, sunlight of the free. Listen to the music that life is teaching me.
Having to hold, having to hold. Everyone needs someone to have and to hold. Everyone needs someone to have and to hold.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, Jared Harbrow, thank you very much. That is true and correct. It is National Talk Black. Give me a call, have you say, 1-800-422-416. And Yana with the bully one, Trevor. Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say, you mob. Speaking of Jared Harbrow, I was talking about the AFL, what's happening this weekend. Kickoff tonight, Collingwood versus Brisbane, and that's happening at Marvel Stadium. And then we have Easter weekend, the Kangaroos up against the Bulldogs, so the afternoon, Friday afternoon, and also have Adelaide Crows up against Gold Coast Suns. And then on the Saturday, we have the Tigers, Richmond up against Swans, Sydney Swans. Essendon, the Bombers up against St Kilda. West Coast Eagles, they're playing Port Adelaide. And on Sunday, they have Carlton versus Freeman, GWS versus Melbourne. And then on the Monday, Easter Monday, Geelong Cats versus Hawthorn. So that's the round for the up-and-coming weekend, Easter weekend. You mob, travel safe and do what you need to do to keep yourself safe. The lockdown in Brisbane has been lifted, so that's fantastic. But still looking for people to act accordingly regarding the rules and regulation. Wear mask when provided, cough into your elbows, constantly wash your hands, and 1.5 metres away from each other. Do what you need to do, you mob. Have your say, Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. Here's Dan Sultan with his daily track called Black Girl.
1, 2. Black girl, won't you love me tonight? Won't you come over, darling, make everything right? Black girl, won't you love me and then come over, darling, and love me. I know, it's hard for you, and you know, darling, it's hard for me too. I know, I love you true. Come over, darling, say. Black girl, won't you love me tonight? Come over, darling, make everything right. Black girl, won't you love me and then come over, darling. Someday, someday, we'll be alright. Just like it is on this shiny night.
Yeah, that daily track there, Black Girl by Dan Sultan from the Brand New Day soundtrack. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, have your say, mob, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Yana with Sylvia on the line. Sylvia, good morning, my sister. How are you?
Hiya, Quab, Kedala, Nunuk. That's greetings. Good today.
Greetings
to you
from WA.
I can't remember the name for brother, the word for brother.
All right, my brother, I'll take that, my brother. That's all I'll take, my sister. How are you?
I'm doing really well, considering that all my life, if there's anything around contagious to catch, you know, German measles, chicken pox, all the rest of it, mumps, whooping cough, the whole lot, considering all of that, this COVID has been a little bit of benefit for me, for health.
Mm. Well, keeping you at home and keeping you at bay.
What I actually phoned today is close the gap. I tried to phone a few weeks and people were talking about it because I actually commenced Close the Gap many, many years ago when I was studying at Murdoch University and attending the funerals of our families in the communities.
Yes.
And the big, big difference between me and our community was I'm too allergic.
Okay.
I'm so allergic to their foods and cigarettes and alcohol that I couldn't do any of the things that hurts our body.
Yes. It's about looking after your body, isn't it?
I think we've got that thing where you can hear me and I can't hear you
on. Okay.
So whether to keep speaking or not, I'm not too sure.
Go ahead. If you can hear me, go ahead. Continue. No, not happening. Sylvia, give me a call back. Sorry, I lost you, Sylvia. I can hear you, but you couldn't hear me. But give me a call back and continue your conversation here on National Talk Black. Going to the NRL news happening, kickoff for the Easter weekend. Tonight, got the Sea Eagles up against the Panthers. And then Friday night football, you got the Bulldogs take on the Rabbitohs. The Storms take on Broncos. And then on the Saturday football, Sharks take on the Cowboys. Titans take on the Raiders. And on Sunday football, you've got the Newcastle Knights up against St. George. And then where else do we have here after St. George? We've got the Roosters taking on the Warriors on Sunday. And then Monday afternoon football. Tigers take on Parramatta Eels. That's the round for NRL. And that is the fourth round. So there it is, kicking underway, all the football, all your codes. But have you say Jan Armstrong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, there's a Pad Boys. Tell me why, but tell me why I stopped that song. Because we've got Sylvia. We'll try again with Sylvia. You there, sister?
Yes, brother. You're tired, brother. Definitely.
We've got a disease on the phone in regarding the cutoff from our conversation, but you're back on. That's the injection. That's the medicine. It's ringing you back. There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, the phone's fantastic technology, isn't it?
It is.
No, yeah, compared to all the other stuff that they do, which wrecks the environment, I think the phone's absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
You know, we're right around the world. We can
and we're communicating.
Speak and we can hear each other right
exactly.
around the world. So with the Close the Gap, as I said, I was looking at the differences in lifestyle. And at the same time, I was being educated by my foster daughter's mother, the community, and I'm learning about every way people in Roebourne, despite the poverty and the alcoholism and cigarettes, how everybody was looking after each other.
Yes.
And caring for each other, and mother, Nunk, I think that's the right word. I get mixed up between Nalama Injibandi and Noongar.
Yes.
She took me walking along the river and talked to me about digging sticks and picked food for me, you know, and opened up all that knowledge. We carry that knowledge in us, Trevor, from our ancestors.
Exactly.
But if we don't have the education system that allows that knowledge to grow, it gets suppressed until somebody opens up, waters that window of knowledge inside of us.
Exactly.
If that makes sense. And this is the huge problem with Close the Gap that we have, is that the education system isn't our form of education. It's individualizing, competitive. You know, that the sports, when men get out there to do some of the warrior behavior, they're forced to compete against other teams rather than excel in division. If both teams just excel the best they can possibly be and stop the competition, they'll both be excelling more than if they were competing.
We've got to work together, get it together is what you're saying.
Absolutely, that's what our culture did. If you read the book by Bruce Pascoe, it talks about how when people were doing things like irrigating the ground, the whole community, everybody went out and did it together.
And that's exercise in itself, isn't it?
We did everything together. That's why people with COVID have all been so upset at being isolated, haven't they? Because they need the community, the touch and the feel and the sound of the
human
other
interaction.
Interaction with others, you know, it's part of our food and cognitive abilities. It's part of
good medicine.
No doubt, as well as water and everything else. But the other thing with our ways of doing things, you were talking about, I think it was Parkinson's before?
Yes.
Several years ago when I stood, long time ago, now time goes so quickly, 2004, I think it was, I stood as an independent Aboriginal MP here locally.
Ah, how'd you go?
One of the many things, you know, about the environment, but one of the many things was looking at the community itself is, and to be sustainable, is for families to have real support when it comes to caring for disabled, aged, infirmed, autistic child, you know, whatever it is, whatever the reason is, that families have certain members of their family that need extra support and care, whatever it is, they are supposed to have real support, financial and physical support, from the governing regime of the day.
Yes.
That's more sustainable. If you look at the care facilities, they're like hospitals, and they have this huge throw-out, one-use system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look at your family, you wash your hands, it's different. We don't have all that. You know, anybody in hospital, especially with COVID, they have to put the protective clothing on, the mask, the gloves, and it's just one use. I don't know whether they're burning it all or whether they're washing it all or what they're doing, but the gloves throw out. I see it all the time, all those little blue rubber gloves and rubber gloves everywhere. But, you know, nothing sustainable, and that's a huge, huge cost on our environment. And each time they cost our environment, the people who are the most impoverished are the people who are suffering the most, because the rich people who are causing the problems, they're saying now that's 12% of the people using the planes, and that's the rich ones, they have the very expensive food, they have the very expensive houses, they live by the rivers, or they buy themselves islands. They don't live in the polluted world with the impoverished foods of everyday people.
You're saying the rich got more protection than the poor is what you're saying?
Absolutely. You know, and how do we change the governing mindset with that when it's taught in the classroom?
Sure. And the governments and the members of parliaments, and they get a good quid. They get a good pay, don't they?
Absolutely. And they've got the best retirement plan there is, haven't
exactly.
they?
Exactly.
You know, Turnbull.
So their classes are rich, aren't they?
Oh, well, Turnbull, I mean, he was a millionaire, and I thought he was the best of all of the, I call them parasites. I thought they were the best of all of that. I don't consider the governing regime in this country to be a real government, because they don't acknowledge the fantastic culture on whose shoulders they stand for their privileged lifestyle. And they carry on causing
climate change. So fighting for existence, aren't we?
Opening up coal mines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which, you know, you're addressing those issues all the time. Mm. You know, a real government today with the knowledge around the place would be absolutely addressing all these issues, because everything is so precious, the environment is so precious, and extinction of animals is absolutely evil.
Yeah. Major point, my sister. Thank you very much. You take care, Sylvia. We'll yard soon.
Yeah, and you as well. I've got more information in relation to Close the Gap.
Please.
Just very quickly, if you've got a moment.
Yes.
One of the things is the wage system. Why do people who do the hard work, the dirty work, the dangerous work, get poorly paid, while those that sit on their bottoms and talk a lot, like parliamentarians and the huge white elephant, which they call the justice system, the courts, get paid so much?
Yeah. True. Good point. Thanks, Sylvia. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Got about 6 minutes left on the program. Then we've got the news coming up very soon via NIRS, National Digital Radio Service. We've got someone online. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, yeah, brother. Yeah, brother, I got a text. My daughter was 17 in May, and got a text from her, and she drip-feed me, brother, the text. Mm. And I showed it to my eldest daughter, and the number to it, the fan, she said she saw a doctor at school.
Mm.
She said she was pregnant. I had to take this. And brother, say April 4 day, brother.
Tricking you, got you, Dad.
Number two hit the fan.
Yeah.
Anyway, brother, I'd like to give a shout out to nobody who was on at me. On me, anyway. I'm going to go at the White Wolves, but I'd like to give a big thumbs up to Carl Meldrum Hannah, brother, on the investigative journalism for that, the fire, the mystery ghost train fire down in Sydney.
Yeah.
A big thumbs up to her, and it was good because one of my favourite. Investigative journalism. What was John Pilger and Liz Jackson from Four Corners, brother? Oh, I love them, brother. And anyway, at the start of the, I followed it, and they gave a thing for Aboriginal people to do, and I couldn't understand why, but they showed Dingley Lawford, the actress. She passed away now. Martin Short he kept a lot of tapes of interviews over the years of this fellow Abe Saffron. But he's an actress, and it was because of some honourable reason that Ningley had an association with him, because it was a good reason, because that Martin Short knew there was bad stuff going on. Abe Saffron was... Abe Saffron was involved with it, and there's a lot of people in the IAH, a lot like Neville Rann was involved in police commission or something like that, and I followed it from the 75 by Juanita Nielsen went missing, brother, and they blamed Abe Saffron beyond that, but I followed it. But a deadly one to Mildred Anna, brother. I'll give me thumbs up with. Thank you, brother.
No, thank you very much. Someone too deadly. Have your say, your mob. You have to do that next week. 1-800-422-416, and otherwise you can text the brother 045-714-0550. But constantly also in touch with us via our Facebook page, BBM 987 FM. Otherwise, you're Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much. Stay safe, stay deadly, stay strong, stay black, and we need to abide by the rules regarding the pandemic. Look, have a great weekend. Look after yourselves. No drink driving, and love and respect our women. Too deadly, mob.